ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 20 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 28 एतावत्त्वं हि विभुभिः भव्यं दीनेषु वत्सलैः यद् अनुस्मर्यते काले सबुद्ध्याभद्ररन्धना। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dear Lord, You are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon Your poor devotees through the expansion of Your Archa Vigraha. You should certainly think of us as Your eternal servants. Purport. The form of the Lord known as Archa Vigraha is an expansion of His unlimited potencies. When the Lord is gradually satisfied with the service of a devotee, in due course of time He accepts the devotee as one of His many unalloyed servants. By nature, the Lord is very compassionate. Therefore, the service of neophyte devotees is accepted by the Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upahartam Ashnami Prayatatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita 9.26. The devotee offers eatables in the form of vegetables, fruits, leaves and water to the Archa Vigraha. The Lord, being Bhaktavatsal, compassionate upon His devotees, accepts these offerings. Atheists may think that the devotees are engaged in idol worship, but the fact is different. Janardhan, the Supreme Lord, accepts bhava, the attitude of service. The neophyte devotee engaged in the worship of the Lord may not understand the value of such worship, but the Supreme Lord, being Bhaktavatsal, accepts His devotee and in due course of time takes him home. In this connection, there is a story about a Brahman who was offering sweet rice to the Lord within his mind. The Brahman had no money nor any means of worshipping the deity, but within his mind he arranged everything nicely. He had gold pots to bring water from the sacred rivers to wash the deity, and he offered the deity very sumptuous food, including sweet rice. Once, before he offered the sweet rice, he thought that it was too hot, and he thought, "Oh, let me test it. My, it is very hot." When he put his finger in the sweet rice to test it, his finger was burned and his meditation broken. Although he was offering food to the Lord within his mind, the Lord accepted it nonetheless. Consequently, the Lord in Vaikuntha immediately sent a chariot to bring the Brahman back home, back to Godhead. Thus, it is the duty of every sincere devotee to accept the Archa Vigraha at home or in the temple and worship the form of the Lord as advised in authorized scriptures and directed by the spiritual master. Hare Krishna. So, seeking the blessings of Pragosha Prabhu, before we begin this discourse. Very interesting topic. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing on the aspect of how Krishna is bhavagrahi, accepts the mood or attitude of service. So basically we will discuss today three points, three very interesting features of this, that what kind of a bhava or attitude Krishna willingly accepts. Secondly, what kind of a bhava or attitude Krishna, even though not very pleased, but forgives. And third is, what kind of bhava or attitude is unacceptable to Krishna. So what is acceptable, what he neglects, and what he cannot neglect and finds unacceptable. So these are three features of what we are going to discuss today from this beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada. So first of all, we'll see what kind of attitude Krishna accepts with great pleasure. And Prabhupada is quoting the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. So, as far as this verse is concerned, very famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, and this verse is also quoted by Krishna in the episode of Sudama Brahman. When Sudama has come to Dwarka and he is about to offer Krishna his chipped rice, but seeing the great love and affection with which Krishna is receiving him, offering him worship, he feels embarrassed to offer this chipped rice. But Krishna is eager to taste this. So at that time, again, this verse is quoted by Krishna to Sudama to convince him to give what he has brought with him. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. So as far as offering to the Lord is concerned, so Krishna accepts an offering made from within the mind, very pleasingly, lovingly, just as Prabhupada is quoting the story of this Brahman. So that is the first kind of offering which one may make. So within this category of the offering or bhava or attitude which is accepted readily and pleasingly by Krishna, we can have three different categories or three different ways of offering to Krishna. One is, one offers from within the mind without any of the ingredients actually being present. And one just has the feeling of worshipful offering to give pleasure to Krishna. That is the first category, manasik, from within the mind. So there is a story of Jagannath, which I heard from Purushottam Maharaj, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. And beautiful story. Once one Jagannath Panda, he travelled all the way from Jagannath Puri carrying gifts for the king of Jaipur. The king of Jaipur was a great devotee of Lord, and there was a regular contact with Jagannath temple. So in reciprocation, he carried some Mahaprasad, he carried various ingredients and went to the king of Jaipur and stayed with him for some time. The king of Jaipur had a daughter, and this daughter was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And when this Panda, after spending few days in the palace, was about to return, this princess approached the Panda and said that, "I have a very special offering for Lord Jagannath. Please carry it with you." So the Panda readily agreed. And this girl, she brought a beautiful basket which was very nicely covered ornately with wonderful cloth, and there were nice golden and silken ropes all around, it looked very attractive, very enchanting. And it appeared to be something very valuable. And the princess, while giving this, told the Panda that be very careful and make sure that you offer it at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, because this is a very, very valuable and priceless possession of mine. And saying this, she handed this to the Panda. And then finally she said, make sure you don't open it on the way at all, and be sure that you open it only in front of Lord Jagannath and no one sees it. And whenever you say something like this, it increases curiosity even more. And already it was very nicely packaged, and on top of it she spoke like this. So all through the journey the Panda was wondering and speculating, what could this priceless possession be? And it is so nicely, attractively packaged. And she has said that you must offer it only to Jagannath and only he must see, none of us should see. Why is it like this? So thinking like that, he started speculating and tried to reason out. After all, I am also intimate servant of Jagannath. So if I have a peek, what's the problem? There will not be any problem. And in the middle of the journey, he couldn't resist anymore. And finally he opened the package. So inside there was a nice beautiful basket. He opened the basket. There was a smaller, more attractive basket inside. He opened that further. There was a golden cloth. And he couldn't hold himself anymore. The surprise and the suspense was becoming too much. He opened that further. And all he found inside was a piece of paper. And he got totally frustrated. He said that she said it is going to be such a priceless possession and I'm not supposed to open it. And after going through so much austerity, all I have is a piece of paper. Angrily he took out the piece of paper, crumpled it and threw it. And came back to the temple of Lord Jagannath and he continued his worship. The first day he resumed his worship, Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream. Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream and gave him a slap and said, why did you commit such an offense? You have thrown away something which was so valuable to me and you have not yet realized it? And then within the dream he was arguing that it was only a piece of paper. He said, you think that's a piece of paper? Come tomorrow morning and see. So next day morning when he went, he saw that crumpled piece of paper still here, straight on the chest of Lord Jagannath. And immediately he went and picked up that piece of paper and he opened it. And there was a message written in that piece of paper. And what was the message? This princess, this lady, was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, with great feeling had written these words. And she said, my dear Lord Krishna, Jagannath, you are the Lord of the universe. You possess everything. You own everything. You are enjoyer of everything. What can a person like me offer to you? Because everything belongs to you. You have everything. But I have heard that there is only one thing which you do not have, because that one thing has been stolen away from you. And the people who have stolen that from you are the Brajavasis, the Gopis, and that is your mind. And therefore, because your mind has been stolen away by the Brajavasis, you do not have that, so I want to offer my mind to you. So please accept that mind from me. That is the only thing which I feel you do not have, and I have, and I want to offer my mind to you. And when he read that, his heart was completely melted. And of course, already the preparation had been made by Lord Jagannath at night, so he could appreciate this message even more, understanding that how this message pleased the Lord so much. So that's what is the first principle of offering one's love, bhava, that one offers his love and devotion through his mind. Second is, there are ingredients of worship, and the ingredients of worship are physically present, but still one offers that from within the mind and not by the regular process. To clarify this, there is the example of Chandidas. All the devotees of in Gaudiya Sampradaya have heard of Chandidas, who was one of the greatest poets along with the other Bilwa Mangal Thakur and all these, whose literatures Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to regularly hear. So before becoming a great Vaishnava, Chandidas was actually a great worshipper of goddess Chandi or Kali, and therefore his name was Chandidas. And he was the one who has coined this term, Dhanam Dehi, Rupam Dehi, Bharya Dehi. This was his original composition, which people are now taking very seriously. So Chandidas, he was a great devotee of goddess Chandi, and every day he used to worship goddess Chandi with flowers and fruits and water and all these ingredients. He had a brother who was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and his brother regularly used to worship Shaligram. So this brother of his was a great devotee of Shaligram, and he used to just live next to his house. So for the worship of goddess Chandi, Chandidas had created a beautiful garden, especially so that he could every day pluck flowers and offer those flowers for the pleasure of goddess Chandi. And that garden was very enthusiastically maintained by him, guarded by him, taken care by him. And as far as his brother was concerned, who was worshipping Shaligram, he did not have such a facility of a beautiful garden. Whatever flowers he would get here and there, he would take and offer to his Shaligram. So one day, this brother was worshipping Shaligram and he didn't have the flowers for that day. And he started thinking, now from where am I going to get these flowers? So he looked out from his window, and his neighbor was his brother Chandidas, and the garden was filled with beautiful flowers. So Chandidas's brother started thinking that since this whole garden is filled with flowers and Lord is Bhavagrahi, he accepts the mood, the sentiment with which an offering is made, and I am not allowed to go and physically pluck the flowers, so what I will do is, there I see one of the most beautiful flowers in the garden, which is blooming luxuriantly, and let me offer that flower to my Shaligram. And thinking like that, mentally he meditated upon that flower and then offered that flower to the Shaligram Shila and prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, somehow today I am not able to physically bring the flowers and offer it to you, but please accept that offering unto you and please purify me." And saying like this, he mentally offered that flower to Lord Shaligram. So next day, Chandidas, he was ready for worshipping his goddess Chandi, the deity of Chandi. So he went out in the garden to pluck flowers, and he didn't know what had happened the previous day, but he plucked exactly that same flower which had been offered the previous day to Shaligram. And that flower was brought by Chandidas, and he brought in front of goddess Chandi and offered it, chanting the mantras he would do every day. And as soon as this flower was offered to goddess Chandi, goddess Chandi appeared in front of Chandidas. And Chandidas was totally bewildered. And he looked at the goddess and said, "I am worshipping you daily. How is it that suddenly you have appeared today?" And she said, "Every day you are offering me flowers directly, But today you have offered me Mahaprasad, flower of the Lord. And because of that I am so pleased, I have appeared in front of you. And he was bewildered. And he said that, well, previously you never said that you wanted Mahaprasad flowers. She said, you never asked me also. You were only asking me, give me this, give me that. So I never revealed to you. But today you have offered it. So now I have demonstrated what is pleasing to me. Your brother, who is such a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, he has offered that flower and that was offered to me. I am so pleased. So then Chandidas said, if this is the case, that even you are pleased with the Lord's Mahaprasad, then why should I be worshipping you directly? I will also worship Krishna. She said, you have my full blessings. And from that time onwards, he became a devotee of Krishna. To that extent that all of his compositions were relished by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in ecstatic trance. So here we see that an ingredient is there, but because of some reasons, the devotee is offering from within the mind and requesting the Lord to accept the offering. And the third example in this case is when the ingredients are actually present and very nicely arranged and organized and offered to the Lord directly with love and devotion, and the Lord accepts it. And the example in this case is that of the great devotee of the Lord, Raghav Pandit's sister, Damayanti. At Panihati, they have their house. So when they would travel from Bengal to Orissa, they would carry all of these wonderful ingredients in jhalis or bags. So an elaborate description is given of the various items which Damayanti would prepare, especially for the pleasure of Lord. And several verses describe all of these ingredients, various types of kashandis, amrakolis and things like that. And then after giving a description of all of these ingredients, Kaviraj Goswami explains that along with all of these sweets, condiments, various types of savories, rice preparations, pickles, etc., Damayanti would also pack sufficient amount of shukuta. And shukuta is a kind of bitter vegetable Bengali stew. Its taste is bitter. So as soon as it mentions the word shukuta, which is bitter, so someone may think that why should someone offer Lord something which is bitter? Because if you are offering with love, then you should offer something which is sweet or salty or tasty. But what is this bitter taste? And even we have seen that people have very extreme reactions to Kerala. Some people love it like anything and others can't tolerate at all. Some vegetables have this capacity to have extreme reactions. Another is bangan or brinjal. Some people love it, others cannot tolerate at all. Right? Or Govind Prabhu is saying gopla. Very attractive for the people who are purchasing, but many times not so attractive to those who are eating. But many people like it, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, in Chaitanya Lila we hear many times, it was a very favorite preparation. So shukuta is supposed to be bitter. So how is it that so much of attention is being paid to pack something which is supposed to be very bitter? Generally bitter taste is not liked so much. So Kaviraj Goswami is saying, shukuta boliya vagyana kariha chite, shukuta ya sukha prabhur paya sukha panchamrate. He is saying that shukutaye, just by hearing the word shukuta, shukuta boli avagyana kariha chitte, do not commit offense to this shukta because it is bitter in taste. सुखता बोली अवज्ञान करिह चित्ते सुखता ये सुख पाय नहे पंचामृते. फॉर लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु दिस सुखता अपियर टू बी मोर नेक्टेरियन देन इवन पंचामृत, अ मिक्सचर ऑफ मिल्क कर्ड हनी घी एंड शुगर वाटर विच इज सो स्वीट. बट लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु फाउंड दिस बिटर प्रिपरेशन सुखता सुखता ये सुख प्रभुर. He experienced greater sukh than even panchamrita. So how is that possible? How can something bitter taste sweeter than panchamrita? So Kaviraj Goswami gives explanation in the next verse. Bhavagrahi Mahaprabhu sneha matra loy sukta pata kashandite mahasukha pai. So Mahaprabhu is bhavagrahi. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bhavagrahi, he accepts that bhava. Bhavagrahi Mahaprabhu sneha matra loy. He accepts only that sneha or affection and love which is there in that preparation. And therefore, shukuta pata kashandi te. Even bitter items like kashandi, which is also a very bitter kind of leaf, and shukuta, which is very bitter, maha sukha pai, he experiences great sukha, great bliss. So what is that bhava which has pleased Lord Chaitanya so much? What is the bhava of Damayanti Mataji that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finds this so attractive? So Kaviraj Goswami explains, मनुष्य बुद्धि दमयंती करे प्रभुर पाए गुरु भोजने उदरे कभू आम हो न आय. सो दमयंती राघव पंडित सिस्टर इज कंसिडरिंग लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु टू बी मनुष्य बुद्धि. शी इज नॉट थिंकिंग दैट लॉर्ड चैतन्य इज सचिदानंद विग्रह, इज द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ, ही हैज अ बॉडी मेड ऑफ इटर्निटी ब्लिस एंड नॉलेज. And therefore, he is the source of everything and all universes enter into him, so anything can enter into him. So what is the problem? No. She has a feeling of devotion. Manushya buddhi damayanti. So she has a feeling that he is just like an ordinary person. Kare prabhur pai. That is her feeling towards the Lord's lotus feet. And therefore, she thinks, guru bhojane. So bhojane means eating and guru means heavy. So guru bhojane means a heavy eater. That if someone eats very heavily, right? So all of us know guru means heavy. So this is a very nicely used term, guru bhojane, eating heavily, right? So in that sense we can take Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, amar agya guru hoye. So the meaning is heavy. So Guru Bhojane here in this context means that if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eats very heavily, then he will have mucus problem or some indigestion. And therefore, amaho nayai, so that he doesn't get this ama or indigestion, let me have something which is bitter, so that that will counteract the influence all of this heavy foodstuffs which he eats. So this is the difference between an impersonalist mayavadi and a devotee. And Krishna says in Gita, avajananti ma mura manushim tanu mashrita. Those who are mura, they are also considering Krishna to be manushim tanu. And Damayanti is thinking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be manushya buddhi. But there is a big difference. And that difference is the difference in bhava. Therefore, Prabhupada says that all the Mayavadis' different prayers and shlokas and glorifications of the Lord act as thunderbolts at Lord's lotus feet. He doesn't feel pleased by that because their mood or attitude is to become one with the Lord. And whereas great devotees, when they consider Lord like this, it is with a feeling of devotion and affection. And then, in this way, the Lord feels very pleased. Shukta khaile sayam hoi bekanash, say sneha murabhavi, prabhura ullash. What gives Lord ullas or pleasure is this understanding that because she has packed all these wonderful items and she has made this Shukta thinking that I should not get indigestion, this feeling gives him a sneha mane bhavi. This feeling of sneha or affection gives him greatest pleasure. And so, this is an example of how all of these different ingredients are prepared with great concentration, attention to detail, and then packed very, very perfectly. And one person is made completely in charge. So there is one devotee called Makaradaja Kar. He is made in charge of carrying all these bags. And he considers these bags to be his life and soul, so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can take great pleasure by eating this. So this is an example of how with great bhava, with great feeling, a devotee offers ingredients to the Lord and the Lord accepts it with pleasure because of that feeling. Therefore this verse says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. So with devotion, tadaham bhakti upahirtam. So Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Lord accepts this with so much devotion, and he is so much bewildered sometimes by the devotee's cry that patram pushpam, even pushpam ashnami, even if flower is offered, sometimes the Lord is so much in ecstatic trance that he puts the flower in his mouth also. And then he realizes this is not edible. But why he does that? Because he is in so much of bliss, hearing the devotee's cry that please accept this offering. So, on one hand, the Lord accepts ingredients which are offered with great bhav, with great love and devotion. And then, the second category which we are about to discuss is, okay, a devotee who sincerely serving Krishna may sometimes also commit some error. So another aspect of bhavagrahi is that Krishna, understanding the mood of the devotee, he does not misunderstand the devotee's integrity and his real feelings, but pardons some inadvertent mistake which he may commit. That is another aspect of bhavagrahi. That means a devotee is sincerely serving Krishna. He has committed himself sincerely to serve the mission of Krishna. But then in the course of his service, there may be some errors because we are not perfect. We may make some mistakes. We may slip sometimes. But because the Lord is bhavagrahi, he accommodates that. And this is, I would say, a more profound aspect of the Lord's being bhavagrahi. There is one beautiful pastime where the devotees from Bengal are coming to Orissa. I was in Delhi recently and I was staying in someone's house, so a certain Antalila section was lying there in the house, so I was just going through that. So I found this section and I found it very interesting. So although I have not read the other Adilila, Madhilila, but somehow I found this section, so I am just narrating this. So what happened was, the devotees from Bengal headed by Shivananda Sen, who was like there in charge of organizing everything for the yatra, was bringing them to Orissa. And on the way they would have various toll collecting booths. And Shivananda Sen would himself make sure that all the devotees are taken care of properly, and he would take care of all of these formalities. So on one such toll booth, there was some delay, and the devotees passed ahead, and Shivananda Sen was held back. and he could not catch up with the devotees. And by this time, the devotees reached a village and they were waiting for Sivananda Sen because only he knew exactly what was the accommodation arrangements in that village. And so all of us have experienced many times when we are traveling that we reach some places and there is some delay and then naturally we become little restless. But problem here was, one person who became really restless was Nityananda Prabhu. And when he became restless, he became really very upset. So it is described, Nityananda Prabhu bhuke vyakula hona, Shivananda gali pade vasana pana. So he was upset because of hunger, Nityananda Prabhu, bhuke vyakula hona. And so what did he do? Shivananda gali pade. He started calling Sivananda Sen ill names. Why? Vasana hana. He has not arranged any accommodation for us and we are feeling so hungry. So Nityananda Prabhu said, I hereby curse Sivananda Sen that because of this, let all of his three sons die. So this was a very heavy curse. And therefore, as soon as Sivananda Sen's wife heard this curse, she started crying. And Sivananda Sen came running there after some time and she said, Lord Nityananda has cursed our sons to die. And when Sivananda Sen heard this, he said, because of the inconvenience we have caused to Nityananda Prabhu, it is but natural that we have to go through this suffering. And there is no problem at all, even if our three sons die, because we have committed a great offense. And saying like this, Sivananda Sen went to pacify Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So we can see that there are always problems in any kind of yatra, historically. Nothing goes perfect, smooth. And we can see here, now Sivananda Sen is going to pacify Lord Nityananda. And as soon as he approaches Lord Nityananda, Eta boli Prabhu paashe, Gila Sivananda, uthi tare lathi mari, hoila Nityananda. So as soon as he came and offered obeisances and got up, Nityananda Prabhu got up from his seat and uthi tare lathi mari, gave him a kick. And then everyone was bewildered. What is happening? And Sivananda Sen also didn't speak anything. Immediately he went, made some arrangement in one house and held Lord Nityananda by his feet and said, please come to this accommodation. And Nityananda Prabhu came there and sat in his place which was allotted. And then when Sivananda Sen saw that the Lord is now a little peaceful, he said, my dear Lord, I am very pleased that today you have accepted me as your servant and punished me sufficiently for all my offenses. I am very, very thankful to you that today my janma, my kula, my karma, dharma, artha, kama and bhakti all have become successful simply by receiving the touch of your lotus feet. And then he says that brahmara durlabha tomar sri charana renu hena charana sparsha paila mora adhama tanu. To receive the speck of dust of your lotus feet is so durlabh, so rare, even for Lord Brahma. And I have been so fortunate that I have received complete mercy. You have kicked me and therefore I have been completely bathed by your divine lotus dust feet, dust of your lotus feet, and so I am so pleased. Thank you so much. And as soon as Nityananda Prabhu heard this, he immediately got up and embraced Sivananda Sen. And at this stage, Kaviraj Goswami, he gives a warning. Nityananda Prabhu Sabha Charitra Vichitra Kruddhahona Lathi Mare Kore Tarahita. So one should not imitate this example of Lord Nityananda and one should not take this as a routine way of expressing displeasure with management. But one should know who Nityananda Prabhu is. So Nityananda Prabhu Sabha Charitra Vichitra, whatever Nityananda Prabhu does, many times his activities appear contradictory. So vichitra means contradictory. But kruddha hone lathi mari. In anger, even if he kicks, kore tare hit. One who receives that kick, he is also benefited immensely. For his benefit only he does this. And therefore one should not imitate Lord Nityananda Prabhu, nor should one be bewildered by what kind of activity is this. So anyway, what happened was, one person was bewildered. And that was Shivananda Sen's sister's son, Shivananda Sen's nephew, his name was Shrikanta. And in the absence of Shivananda Sen and Lord Nityananda, he started speaking to a group of devotees that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he has displayed his superiority over my uncle like this by kicking him on his head. Even my uncle, Shivananda Sen, is one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how is it that he has been kicked like this? So he was quite bewildered. And he was agitated. And he could not control himself. And he immediately went to clarify this matter with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it is Nityananda Prabhu's matter. Who else he can clarify? There is only one more person remaining. That is Lord Chaitanya. So he goes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he comes in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offers his obeisances. But he offers his obeisances with his shirt and with his coat on. And the verse says, Petangi goy kore dandavat namaskar Govinda kohe Shrikanta petangi utar. So according to the traditional strict Vedic rules, while offering obeisances in front of the Lord, one should not have any upper clothes on. And therefore in many South Indian temples you will find that remove your shirt while entering, or you wear only upper cloth, angavastra, like that. And that is according to the Tantra Shastras. So mercifully we have been given Pancharatra, so we do not have to go into all those details. But then there are verses in the Tantra Shastras which says that Vastre Navrata Yo Pranamet Harim, if one offers obeisances with shirt on for 7 generations, something deadly will happen. Things like that, which is scary. And practically for us in ISKCON temples, it will create one more problem if everyone has to open their upper vastras before offering. Along with shoe stall, we have to have a hanger stall also. And already we have trouble handling shoe thieves. And we'll have one more set of clothes thieves. So mercifully, all those strict rules and regulations are not to be followed now as Kali Yuga progresses. And Prabhupada has given a simple formula. But just now, even now we find anyone entering, nobody can imagine entering a temple with shoes. At least 2004 AD, this is considered to be impossible. 500 years back, offering obeisances to the Lord with an upper cloth was considered to be as horrifying as someone entering a temple with shoes on. But now 500 years down the line, it is normal. So who knows, 500 years from now, what will happen to other rules? Right. So then, 500 years back, it was as unimaginable as someone entering with shoes or some other kinds of things. So as soon as he offered obeisances, Shrikanta offered obeisances with his upper clothes. So Govinda kohe Shrikanta petangi utar. Petangi means this upper cloth. Remove this. You are offering obeisances to the Lord. Have you forgotten the etiquette? So according to the rules, this was correct. So immediately, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu intervened and said, Prabhu kahe Shrikanta asiyache manaduk kichuna boliha kore yata ihar suk. O Govinda, don't tell anything, because this Shrikanta has come here asiya che mana dukh. There is great distress in his mind. He has come to seek my audience not in an ordinary state of mind. His mind is filled with anxiety. He is troubled, he has been traumatized. There is some feeling of great agony in his mind. And therefore, at this stage, do not give him any instructions on the rules and regulations and let him behave the way he wants. This is not the time to be heavy with him, because mentally, emotionally, he is very fragile. Therefore, he needs empathy. So in this way, the Lord was intervening, and very nicely he spoke to Srikanta about all the other devotees. And Srikanta heard this, that Lord is telling Govinda that his mind is in distress. And he started thinking that dukkha panasya che prabhur vakya shuni janila sarvagya prabhu etanumani. So now Srikanta really started thinking that dukkha panasya che prabhur vakya shuni. Oh, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Govinda that Srikanta has come in a distressed state of mind. Janila sarvagya prabhu. So he understood, oh, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows everything. He knows that my mind is in distress. And therefore I could not follow the regular rules and regulations, which normally would be a punishable offense. But because he has understood that I am in great distress, he has understood my heart, and so the Lord is so merciful. And because he felt so nice that his distress has been understood, so he forgot all about the complaints he had about Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he no longer spoke anything about what he wanted to speak about the episode between Lord Nityananda and Shivananda Sen. He just kept quiet. And then all the other devotees came. And so in this case, the Lord is demonstrating that he understands the hearts of a devotee. And sometimes when a devotee is in a state of distress, devotees are sincere, they are dedicating their lives because they want to give up sense gratification, they want to practice Krishna consciousness seriously, that's why they have come here in ISKCON. But then over a period of time, in the day-to-day practice, one goes through various ups and downs, various kinds of troubles, obstacles, problems may come. And on certain days the mind is disturbed and distressed, and one may act and speak in certain deviant ways which may not exactly be according to what the Shastras declare and dictate. But then the Lord understands such temporary disturbances going on in a devotee's mind and then forgives such a devotee's misbehavior or improper conduct or a breach of etiquette. And in this way we find this, the Lord is bhavagrahi, appreciates a devotee's temporary difficulties. And in this way, the devotee also feels very good. So Srila Prabhupada was also like this, when he was dealing with devotees, and when he could understand that someone has committed an offense or some problem because of some disturbance beyond his control, then he would be very, very generous. He would overlook and sometimes neglect. What he could not tolerate was laziness or some kind of negligence because of inattentiveness. But otherwise, if a devotee is genuinely in some kind of distress and problem, then just like the Lord, we should also understand bhava, that with what mood such a person is practicing Krishna consciousness, and then forgive even some inadvertent offense which may have been committed. And in this way, this is one beautiful example of what the Lord forgives and overlooks. So first, the Lord accepts the bhava pleasingly. Second, the Lord overlooks or forgives some offense which may be committed, understanding the mood of the devotee. And the third is, what kind of a bhava the Lord does not accept at all, finds it unacceptable. And this example we find in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is traveling from Dwarka to visit two great devotees, Bahulashva and Shrutadev. So Bahulashva is a great opulent king and Shrutadev is a nice, humble, gentle Brahman devotee who is very poor. So Krishna expands himself into both their houses, into the palace of the king also and in the hut of Shrutadev also. And so now Krishna has entered into Shrutadev's house. We should remember that Shrutadev is also a very poor Brahman, just like Sudama, does not have much to offer. So he offers a nice sitting place made of straw mat, some tulsi leaves, water, simple flowers. And then for the Lord's pleasure, Shrutadev starts dancing. That is his entertainment for the Lord. And then he starts offering along with his entire family beautiful prayers glorifying the Lord. So Shrutadev offers prayers to the Lord in a series of verses. And as soon as he ends glorifying the Lord, then the Lord holds Shrutadev by the hand. And then with a smile on his face, Krishna starts speaking to Shrutadev the following very important verses. And he says, Brahmante anugrahartaya sampraptan vidhi amun munin sancharanti maya lokan punanti padarenubhi. He says, Shrutadev, thank you very much for your glorifying me and offering me nice worship, respecting me, offering all these facilities to me. But Shrutadev, let me bring to your notice that I am not traveling alone. I am traveling with all of these wonderful devotees and sages and rishis who are coming with me. So Krishna, he requests Shrutadev to look upon all these devotees and says that Brahman, O Brahman. So he begins his address to Shrutadev by calling him Brahman, indicating that, okay, I am Krishna, I am Kshatriya from Dwarka. So Kshatriya has to definitely respect Brahmana more. And you are Brahman yourself, so you may not have to respect Brahman so much. But still, I should bring to your notice that even if you are Brahman, do not engage in exclusive worship only of me. You have offered all of these things with great love and devotion. So whatever Shrutadev offered was with great bhava, with pure love and devotion, simple ingredients and prayers. But Krishna is now making a point that when my devotees are also present and you are offering exclusive worship only to me, that is not acceptable. Brahmante anugrahartaya, to bestow mercy upon you, sampraptan vidhi amun munin, all these rishis, sages have come along with me so that they can bestow mercy to you. And you may think, what mercy they will give to me? So you should know, sancharanti maya lokan, what I do is I only create. I just create this material world, maya lokan. But punanti, these great sages purified. So their power is greater than mine. I am only a creator, they are purifier. How do they purify? Padarenubhi, with the dust of their lotus feet. These great sages who are traveling with me, they are not ordinary souls. Devaha kshetrani tirthani darshana sparshanarchanaihi shanai punanti kalena tadapi arhatameekshaya. So one may think that worshipping deities is very important, going to holy places is very important, taking bath in holy rivers is very important, and we automatically become very reverential in our approach. We become very, very careful in our mood while approaching these. We prepare ourselves, oh, we are approaching dham. We are going to take bath in Yamuna or Ganga, or we are going to worship the deities. So one becomes sober and serious. darshana sparshana archanai. By darshan sparshana archana of deva kshetra and tirthani shanai punanti kalena, Krishna is saying that all of these processes, the deity worship, going to holy places, and even taking bath in holy rivers, they purify shanaihi, gradually. The rate of purification is there, but it is slow. Compared to tadapi arhatam ekshaya, if you worship these devotees who are traveling with me, by serving these devotees, you will be purified instantly. So amongst all of these manifestations of mine, including my deity form, you cannot find a more powerful manifestation than my devotee. Therefore, you should be worshipping these devotees who have come with me. And then he says, Tasmat brahmarishin etan brahman mach radhyarchaya. And while worshipping these devotees, you worship them with as much faith as you have in me. And therefore, evam chit architosmi adha. Such worship of these devotees would actually be considered by me to be my direct worship. So sometimes we feel when we are worshipping deity, we are worshipping directly. And by serving devotee, we are worshipping indirectly. So Krishna is saying, no. Evam chet architosmi adha. Adha means direct. This kind of archana, worshipping the devotee, is direct worship of me. Na anyatha bhuri bhuti bhi. Not worship through all different kinds of paraphernalia. That is also worship, but that is not so powerful and direct worship as this. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami ends this narration by explaining how Krishna is instructing Shrutadeva, who was a simple poor Brahman, who was offering whatever little ingredients he had with love. But in Sudama's case, Krishna immediately accepted that bhava. But in the case of Shrutadeva, he is not accepting that bhava directly, but telling him that there is still something which you can add, which you have neglected. And that is, you have neglected to offer sufficient respect and worship to my devotees. So worship of Krishna with all bhava, with full pure bhava, without considering or neglecting the devotees, is not accepted. So Krishna does not accept that bhava. Although he is bhava grahi, but there are certain very strong no's in Krishna's rules and regulations. Something totally unacceptable. At any cost he will not compromise. So this is what that example. And so Shukadeva Goswami ends this whole pastime by saying, evam subhaktayo rajan bhagavan bhakta bhaktiman. Evam subhaktayo rajan bhagavan bhakta bhaktiman. So Krishna is known as one who becomes a devotee of his devotee. Bhakta bhaktiman. So in this way, meeting his two devotees, Shrutadev and Bahulashva, punaradvaravatayam agat, Krishna returned back to Dwaraka. After establishing this very important philosophical principle, that do not think you can approach me directly, do not think you can please me by neglecting my devotees. You have to please me, then you have to please my devotees. And the same principle Krishna told Duryodhana also. You are trying to give me chappan bhog, but on another hand you are always trying to kill my devotees all through. Right, so how can I accept this? You are trying to display your love for me through all this paraphernalia, but your mood is envy towards me, and that is expressed by your envy to my devotees. So these are the three very important aspects of bhava, that one which is acceptable to Krishna and pleasing to the Lord, offered through mind, through ingredients, and offered conscientiously directly to the Lord. And secondly, in case a devotee is in some kind of difficulty, the Lord understands that also, appreciates that also, and overlooks so-called offense. And third is the Lord finds neglect of His devotees totally unacceptable. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ji ki, Thay Gaur Chandra ki, Girdhari Gopal ki. And in this way, He does not accept that at all, in any case. Like Dr. Patel was arguing with Srila Prabhupada, that you have made ISKCON Juhu, and the deities are on the ground floor, and right above the deities on one side, the devotees are staying. So how devotees can have position higher than that of deities? And Prabhupada said, our philosophy is Mad Bhaktya Puja Vedika, that worshipping my devotees is greater than worshipping me, Krishna is saying. And therefore, first devotees. Even in Mayapur, Prabhupada said, before the temple room, first make the guest house. First make the devotee quarters. So first the devotees' quarters were arranged, and then the main temple was built gradually. So Prabhupada was always very careful to make sure that the devotees were taken care. And that is the most important principle. And even in Krishna conscious circles, we have seen that some mistake may be there, but it is always better to take a lenient stance, because that is good in the long run. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur came for the temple opening, but he would refuse to go ahead because one devotee, because of neglect, had gone away. And so first he wanted that matter to be rectified. Even once Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur entered into a temple room, and some devotees were catching hold of one new man who was offering obeisances on the way. And he was in the way of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. They caught hold of him and pushed him aside, saying, Guru Maharaj is coming, move! And Bhaktisiddhanta looked at them and said, why are you behaving so violently with this man? So just because I am coming, you don't have to treat him like this. So therefore, take care of each and every person who comes to the temple, because they are specially invited by the Lord. So that is the most important principle. So in this way, in this beautiful verse and purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining the Lord as Bhavagrahi, or one who accepts the attitude of a devotee's service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. So any corrections and additions by Praghosha Prabhu? So tomorrow evening, Praghosha Prabhu will be speaking on glories of Lord Balramji on the occasion of Balram Jayanti. Hari Bol! Srila Prabhupada ki! Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki! Tai Gopya Manande!